Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
10 minutes past eight. On average, 3 people die a day in need of a donated organ. There are over 6,000 people waiting for an organ transplant. James Tottle, a 21-year-old heart transplant patient, and his choir, Gifted Organs, have released their heartfelt and uplifting track tomorrow, just in time for Christmas, to raise awareness for the urgent necessity of organ donation. Will Kramer is one of those who took part. He's with us this morning. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in. Now, we're going to play the song first of all before we get underway. You've told me that you're very clearly on it. What do we listen for?
Well, I'm playing the piano on the track and also I'm singing both in the choir and some of the solo lines. You may be able to pick me out if you can hear my speaking voice and my singing voice.
We'll give it a go, shall we? Tomorrow from Gifted Organs. We heard in there briefly a solo from Will Kramer, also on piano in there somewhere as well. So I guess every member of the choir has someone to thank for an organ donation here. So what's your story?
So my story is I was born with cystic fibrosis, which is a common genetically inherited condition where both my mum and dad would have been carriers of the gene, and so it's a genetically inherited thing. And the effect of cystic fibrosis is that you get a lot of chest infections, a lot of sticky sputum in your lungs, and ultimately it leads to lung transplant as the kind of end game of the condition. So when I was in my 30s, I got very sick, was on oxygen, had very low, you know, oxygen in my blood, had difficulty getting around at all. And was listed for transplant. And very luckily, I was only 11 weeks on the transplant list.
Wow. Yeah.
And then they found me some lungs. I was rung at kind of midnight in my house in Cambridge and told to hot foot it to Papworth Hospital. And they took both lungs out and put some new ones in. And that was...
So two in one go.
That's right.
Well, normally things about a lung transplant as being a single lung, but this was
for cystic
double,
fibrosis,
double.
You can't do that.
There's no choice.
If you only change one, then the infection from the other one gets across.
Right.
To the new one. So they do both at once. It's about a 9-hour operation. And as the consultant described it, it's a controlled car crash. And it's quite a recovery period afterwards.
So how long ago was that?
So I've just passed my 9th anniversary of lung transplant. And at the time I had the transplant, they were saying if I had another winter like I just had, I probably wouldn't get through it.
So no general prognosis now after the transplant, a healthy life as best can be expected?
Well, to some extent it's a lottery.
Yeah.
It depends how good the match is between the organs that you get and your body. Mm. And, you know, touch wood, I've been very lucky so far.
And it's is it a constant... you know, constant checkup forever. Not like you get to a certain point and you go, you're done now. Otherwise, it would have been rejected by now, or it's not like that.
The risks kind of reduce or they change over time as you go further out. But you always take immunosuppression drugs to stop your body rejecting the organ.
Right.
So for the rest of your life, you take some tablets, but it's not that onerous. It's not that big a deal having to take a few pills every day.
In the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of things, I can breathe. And the extraordinary thing about it is I remember waking up in intensive care and my first thought that came into my head was, oh, I can breathe.
Yeah.
And it is extraordinary. It's transformational for your life. And it's a gift that keeps on giving, really.
You kind of need a good pair of lungs to sing, really, don't you?
You do.
Were you a singer before?
I was. Yeah, wow. I was a choral scholar in Trinity College in Cambridge when I was a student. And sang in Norwich Cathedral as a treble when I was little.
Yeah, I've done that too. So
And so I've always sung. And I sometimes put down the fact I got into my 30s before I needed the transplant, down to the fact I'd done a lot of singing in the past.
Right.
It's actually good exercise for the lungs. And so it was really lovely to sing without the stress of coughing or running out of breath after
Yes, no, I'm sure there was some, you know, the controlled breathing that you sometimes need you would need it for all pieces as opposed to just a special one. So how do you then get involved with the Gifted Organs Choir?
So a few years ago, a little while after I'd had my transplant, there was a transplant choir set up, which was for a particular event. And James and I met during that event. And then James got in touch when he started the Gifted Organs Choir and asked me to come along and take part in this recording. And so I was very happy to do so.
And you had to traipse all the way to Wales to a very special recording studio.
That's right. It was at Rockfield Studios, which is in Monmouth in South Wales. And it's the place that Queen recorded Bohemian Rhapsody and Oasis did Wonderwall and Coldplay did Yellow, their kind of breakthrough
like
hit.
A Valley's version of Abbey Road to a certain extent.
It was. And the guy who runs it is hilarious. And he was saying, oh, I've got absolutely no memorabilia. I really missed the trick. but I did get to play the actual Bösendorfer grand piano that Freddie Mercury played the beginning of Bohemian Rhapsody on.
Goodness.
So that's pretty good.
And I could just about work out the notes for the start, so it was great fun.
Yeah, no, so you had a little go, did you, Bohemian Rhapsody, whilst you were there. So what's been the process since then? Have you recorded it? You tell me, probably you're doing this in the middle of the Christmas song in the middle of the summer or something.
It was only a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And then it's been mixed, and at the same time as recording the audio, we had a cameraman in, and we produced a video, a sort of studio music video, which is up on YouTube. If you search for Gifted Organs, you can find it there.
Do they know it's Christmas style kind of thing?
Yeah. So people in a recording booth, headphones on. And I believe the track is already on pre-order on iTunes and will be released elsewhere on the 21st.
Because I was thinking about this, you know, the Christmas number one thing or getting anywhere within the charts for Christmas. First of all, I had to remember when the charts were. It's a Friday these days, isn't it? Because it always used to be a Tuesday lunchtime with Johnny Walker. Then it sort of shuffled around, so it was actually the Sunday night was when the chart was.
Yes.
And now it's Friday. It's kind of been pushed back a bit. So I guess you have to kind of time it right, don't you, to get that impact?
I think so. Yeah. But I mean, there are two aspects.
I was going to say
one is raising some money for charity and to cover, the cost of making the track. Clearly, but the really important message is about people joining the organ donor register. And almost more important than joining the register, talking to your loved ones and making your wishes known. Because if you were to die, and there was the possibility of your organs being used to help other people, then even if you're on the donor register, if your loved ones don't know that's what you wanted, the doctors will ask the loved ones
even if that person is carrying a card in their wallet or whatever.
Absolutely. So even if that person has got that, the family can overrule and can say tell to the doctor, I don't want it to happen to my son, my wife, whatever it is. And so having that chat with your loved ones and making it very clear you do want to help and you do want to donate is the most important thing, because then the loved ones, when asked by the doctors, can direct things in the right way.
Because otherwise, I guess if you don't have that conversation, things can be bad enough as they are without having to go through all the other bits and pieces on top of it.
And completely understandably, the situation can put people off the idea of surgery, as it were, after death. But it's so transformational for people who have transplants.
Two stupid questions. Where do you get a donor card from?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's all online now.
Okay, so you can look sign up and somebody will send you whatever it is, a bit of plastic to sit in the wallet or just go on a register.
I think it's an online register. So if you search for NHS organ donation, you can sign up online. It's worth saying that the type of transplant that has the most people who die while on the waiting list is kidneys.
Right.
And the special thing about kidneys is, because we've got two of them, you can be a living donor. And in the gifted organs, there were two pairs of people, one of whom had given a kidney to the other. So there was a mother and son, and there was a husband and wife, both of whom had sort of given a kidney to keep the other one alive, which was extraordinary.
Lovely story. Will, look, thank you very much for coming in and chatting to us this morning. Will Kramer is one of the... How many in the choir altogether?
It was about 20 people.
20 people involved in the Gifted Organs Choir for that recording of the track tomorrow. You will be able to find it online. Well, maybe tomorrow. It's a possibility. We might have got the timing right on that. Do keep an eye on that and do have a look at online if you want. If you haven't signed up to donate an organ, then I'm sure that people like Will and many others will be thankful for that. It's 8:22.
Cambridge 105 Radio.